We do have several prayer requests this morning that couple that involve the loss of a family member. The first one, Scott J., asked us to pray for his family as his mom has gone to her eternal home this morning. And I know she's been in the nursing home for a while and she's been struggling. And so while the loss is always hard on one hand, it's good to know she isn't struggling anymore. And then I would ask you to continue to pray for J.W. Little, who's still in the hospital with COVID. And then he got the report from the biopsy that was taken last week. And unfortunately, the biopsy was positive for cancer. He's dealt with that previously, and now it seems to be rearing its ugly head again. And then we want to pray for the family of Don Francis, who went to his final resting place this past Friday.
Okay. All right. All right, let's spend some time praying for these people. Dearly Father God, we come to you in prayer for these people. We lift them up before you. And God, we lift up Scott J. and his family right now as they've lost their mom this week, or this morning, actually. God, I pray that I may not know them personally, but God, I pray that their mother was a follower of Jesus. Because if so, then God, we know that that is so difficult to lose a parent, the weight of that. But God, as we know, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would be with their family right now and just bring them peace and comfort over these difficult days ahead. Because, God, it's difficult to lose a parent. And God, we know there's a sting that you'll just never go away until we're reunited with them. And so, Father, I pray for this family, that God, for the days ahead, you would just continuously make your presence known to them. God, you would bring them peace beyond all understanding. That God, even when things look dark and grim, that God, you would just remind them that you are there with them, that you draw near to the brokenhearted. That you are not some absent God that's allowing them to deal with the weight of this death on their own. That God, you are right there with them. And that God, you can be their anchor in the midst of this storm that'll keep them held down and not feel like they're drifting away. So God, I pray that you would just hold them in your arms and embrace them in this difficult season. And Lord, we just continue to lift up J.W. Little to you. As God, we know that they're still in the hospital battling COVID. And then, God, the report of finding out that cancer is back and that is here. God, there is so much going on in his body right now. And so, God, I pray for healing over him. I pray, God, that you would help him successfully recover from COVID. God, it has so many different side effects. It's doing all sorts of different things. But, God, the one thing that I know that it can't do is that it can't overcome your will. And so, God, I pray that you would heal his body. You would restore his lungs, his heart, his body, whatever damage it is trying to do, that God, you would allow that to fully recover from that. But God, also the threat of cancer that is back. And God, whatever your plan is, God, I know that healing is involved. And God, whatever that healing might look like, it may not look like the way we want it, when we want it, how we expect it. Because God, ultimately, you have the bigger plans. You have the bigger vision. And so, God, that's why we trust you with this. That's why we're bringing it to you in prayer. But God, I pray that you would eradicate it. God, you would empty his body of those cancer cells. That God, you would bring about a healing that only you can do. God, you've given us medicine. You've given us things that help things, that help get us through, that hold things off. But God, there's nothing like you. God, there's nothing that your healing hand can't provide. And that's why we lift his concerns and this cancer and this COVID up to you. Because God, we know that you are the ultimate healer. God, you are the good physician. And so God, I pray for healing over his body. You'd be with him in the midst of this. That you would just be with his mind, because God, I know the enemy is going to attack him, make him doubt, make him question his existence, but God, just continue to remind him that you have a plan and a purpose for his life, that you will not waste our pain and hurts in this world. So God, I pray that you would just remind him that you are good and you are over it and that you are in control, that he can rest knowing that. And God, I pray for Don, the family of Don Francis, God, who went to their resting place as well. And God, yet again, I pray, God, that they knew you as their Lord and Savior. Because God, if so, then God, even though that there's a weight the mourning of the loss of our family member. But God, there is also joy in the morning knowing that they're with you. God, I pray for their family, that God, yet again, that God, you would be with them through these difficult seasons. God, death is not something that we get over in a day or a week. God, that's something that we feel an impact for the rest of our life on this earth. God, I pray that you would just bring a peace beyond all understanding to this family. God, you would just continue to be their hope in the midst of this storm. God, that they would turn to you in this time of loss. And that, God, they would actually, that both of these families that have suffered loss would find the importance of grieving. God, we need to take the time to grieve and celebrate the life and cherish the life that we had, that we got to call mom, or that we got to call dad, that we got to call whatever role that they had in our family. Cherish them so that we may take the time to be thankful for God for placing them in our life. So God, we love you. We pray this, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I do want to address something with JW. I would just pray and ask you to pray that he will turn his life back to the Lord. He's not in church. He's not in fellowship. I don't even know if he remembers when he used to be in church all the time, but I just pray that through this time he would realize how important God is. And thinking about that, I was visiting with a young lady yesterday, and we were talking about the things that's gone on with Joe and how, you know, we've continued to believe that God's in the healing business, that he's with us and he's healing Joe. And she said, you know, my son had a really serious accident last year, broke his neck, broke his back, and he should have died in that accident. The other person involved in the accident did perish. And she said, I've been talking to him for years about coming to know the Lord, and he just never would make that move. But when that happened, when that crisis happened in his life, he had seen a sign on the highway that said, if you would die tonight, where would you spend eternity? And she said that sign alone, plus I'm sure the seeds she was planting along the way, and the accident that he was involved in, knowing that he lived through that accident only by the grace of God, turned his heart toward the Lord. And she said he is serving the Lord now, and praise God.
Yeah.
So sometimes these tragedies or hard times is what it does take.
Yeah, it makes you realize you're not immortal.
No, and you know, life can be snuffed out in a second.
Yep.
You know, that, I mean, I've told this a jillion times on here about, you know, my dad and mom and I were singing at a funeral, and my dad died at that funeral while we were singing the old Rugged Cross. Mm. He took a step back, he said, I'm sick, and he died.
Wow.
And we don't know when our time is up. So today is the day of salvation. Yeah. Okay, I want to thank our sponsors now. I just had to throw that in while we were on the prayer request. But do continue to pray for JW, that he would return to the Lord and put him deep in his heart, and that he would have his eyes on him. So the Refuge Church, pastored by Tammy Bailey, is a wonderful little church out in the country. It's non-denominational. And from downtown Sayre, Oklahoma, at the traffic light, you go west on Highway 152, about 3 miles, and it's inside a barn there, a beautiful little spot that they fixed inside this barn for their church. They have Sunday school at 10 on Sunday morning, and then worship at 10:45. Sunday evening, they have Bible study at 6. And then again on Wednesday evening at 7, they have Bible study, as well as a youth group on Wednesday evening. If you'd like to talk to Tammy more about anything, you can call her at 729-0956. And then, of course, we always want to thank Joshua's Crossing, who's one of our sponsors, and has allowed us to have this beautiful little spot in the Promise Center, 321 North Main. Continue to keep Les in your prayers as he's sorting through his life right now and trying to get regrouped on counseling with since the loss of his wife, Donna. Prophetic Voice Ministries is at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, church again at 6, and then they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, and on Thursday evening they have Bible study again. Apostle Casey Elliott will bring you a good word. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Love your ride today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. We know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. I need to do the right thing. The challenge is finding out what that thing is. This is where you develop habits. Good habits produce good results. They're not dependent on what somebody else thinks or even what you think at the time. When you find the right thing, make it a habit.
Turn that up. We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Our Facebook sponsor today is Grants Auction Realty. Our guest today is Chase Morrow, talking about Jesus, the Good Shepherd.
That's right.
And I know since we saw you last, you've been to the Holy Land.
Yes.
And experienced some wonderful mm-hmm. things over there. But I'll just let you finish this.
Okay.
And if you want to throw some, you know, a couple of things in about that when you get finished, that'd be great.
Okay, sure. I could totally do that. So what we've talked about so far is I'm showing how Jesus, we read about how in John 9, the shepherds, the religious leaders of the day that are supposed to be God's shepherds to the people are very wicked. They've made a lot of man-made rules, teaching people destructive, harmful things about their faith, and they excommunicated a man that refused to denounce his faith in Jesus. And so we see in Ezekiel 34 that God actually condemns the religious leaders all the way back in that day because they were doing the same thing. They were wicked shepherds, not teaching them correctly, but only feeding themselves. And so God says, I've had enough. I'm sending and I'm going to send one shepherd to deal over one flock, and he will come from the lineage of King David. And we know that is to be King Jesus. That is a prophecy of the foretelling of a Messiah that is to come, and that is Jesus. And so in John 10, I'm showing how Jesus is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34 and how Jesus as the good shepherd, how the wicked religious leaders of the day as wicked shepherds had excommunicated a sheep to fend for himself. Jesus comes back to swoop him up as the good shepherd to tend to his sheep and to his flock overall. And so how does Jesus tend to his sheep? The first thing that we talked about was this, is that He gathers his sheep. He speaks over them, and the sheep have a moment to respond to the shepherd's voice to follow. And we have that response too. We have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have a chance to hear the words of Jesus and decide to follow him. And he gathers us up. The second thing is he guards us. He guards his sheep. He protects us. He is not only the good shepherd, but he is also the gate, which the gate offers security. It offers protection. It offers peace. And so that is what we have if you decide to follow Jesus. Jesus protects us. He protects us from false teachings that people that pull us away from the good shepherd. He protects and he feeds us. He feeds us words of God and satisfies us. He protects us and he provides in all these different ways. Point number three, it's my final point through verses 11 through 18. The third and final thing of how Jesus provides for his sheep, he gives his life for his sheep. In verse 11 through 18, it says this, still Jesus talking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Hey, that sounds familiar. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. In one act, we see most clearly the shepherd's care for the sheep. When the sheep are in the imminent danger of life threat, right, the shepherd gives his life to the sheep. And so Jesus is different from the religious leaders in many other ways, but Jesus points to their relationship to the sheep, right? He basically says, hey, you're supposed to be shepherds to this, but you're actually, you are the hired hands of the sheep, right? You are simply hired hens. So tending them to the sheep is more of just, it's just a job. It's just a way to make a little extra cash. So if tending the sheep is your job, what happens when the predator attacks, when wolves come in to attack the sheep in the middle of the night? Well, they run and don't look back. They're hired hands. They just hope that they're faster than their slowest sheep and so that they can get away. Because bottom line is, they see more value in their own life than the life of the sheep. Jesus, not being a hired hand, he has a little bit more investment in the sheep. Why? Because they're his own. And so he is not just a hired hand. He is the shepherd. So he, not like the hired hands, he doesn't run. He has a little bit more investment. He actually values the life of the sheep over his own life. And so he doesn't run. He is in the midst with the sheep, right? And so he loves the sheep more than he loves his own life. And so these sheep are his, and he loves them more than his own life, and that's why he lays down his own life to protect his sheep. That's why five times within these four verses, he says, I lay down my life, I lay down my life, I lay down my life five times. If that's not evident and clear of Jesus as the good shepherd, and not a hired hand who runs and tuck tails, Jesus is the hero of this story. When he sees the wolf coming, he doesn't run. He steps in between. He steps in between the thing that would snuff out the life of his sheep. Like I said earlier, the sheep are dull in the brain, are defenseless. There is nothing they can do against any predator. They are sitting ducks. I know they're sheep, but they're sitting ducks. They're fluffy. They can't do nothing. They have no teeth, no nothing. They're slow. They're defenseless. Any predator that comes in, they're dead. They're gone. But Jesus steps in as the good shepherd to provide the protection between the wolf and the sheep. And so Jesus being the good shepherd and we are his sheep, what is it? I'm not talking about literal wolves attacking us. What is it that we as people, what are the wolves that are encircling us that we can absolutely do nothing about? Well, I'm so glad you asked the questions. I love to answer. What are the dangers of the sheep that Jesus must face? Let me read you John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John 5:24, truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but pass from death to life. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life to protect his sheep from the predators that we can do nothing about: sin, judgment, and death. He did not die simply to be an example or to demonstrate the depth of his love, which he did die to show us his love for us, but he died because his sheep were in real danger. He died in our place. By his death, we are saved. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The wolves that are coming for the flock of God are our own sinful nature. There's nothing we can do about our own sinfulness. We rightfully deserve the next thing because of our sin. We rightfully deserve the judgment of God. We rightfully deserve to be judged by God because of our sinfulness. And that judgment is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. We rightfully, I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing. We rightfully deserve hell. We rightfully deserve that. And that is the wolves that encircle the sheep and the flock of God. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, steps in between, willingly lays down his life for his sheep so that the sheep have the chance to survive and follow the sheep and follow the shepherd. There's nothing you and I can ever do to fix the wrong that we've done against a holy and righteous God. Our sinfulness, we rightfully deserve the judgment of God. We rightfully deserve eternity in hell. But Jesus, as the good shepherd, steps in, willingly laid down his life for his sheep and picked it up again. And that's how we can be spared of all of that. We don't have to pay the price with our own life because our shepherd has gone before us and gave his own life for us so that we don't have to have the punishment of our sin, so that we don't have to sin the separation, eternal death in hell, but rather we are forgiven of our sin and we're spared the God's wrath and judgment, and we gain eternal life in Jesus. So where does that leave us? If our shepherd has laid and gave his life for us, where does that leave us? Are we without shepherd? I don't quote John Piper a lot, but he has a line, a quote from when he does this. His quote is this: "The story does not end with a mangled shepherd lying dead among three dead wolves and the sheep scattered, thirsting and starving in the desert. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and judgment because he did not stay dead. He arose and continues to shepherd his sheep. Jesus is our victorious, risen, and living shepherd. If Jesus is the good shepherd, then what we need to do is simple. If Jesus is the good shepherd, what you and I need to do is simple. Follow Jesus."
Amen.
That is the most simplest thing I can say. Is follow Jesus. Don't look elsewhere. Don't wander away. Recognize that in him we have everything we would ever need. When we are tired, he brings us to rest in green pastures. When we are thirsty, he guides us to refreshing springs. When we are uncertain, he leads us on the path of righteousness. When we are afraid, he comforts us with his presence. Follow the good shepherd. As you follow him, goodness and mercy will follow you for all the rest of your days. And on his timetable, not on ours, but on his timetable, he will lead you to his house where we will dwell with him forever. Don't try to go and feed yourself on your own pasture as a lost sheep, as a wandering sheep. As you will find that the pastures from anywhere else outside of the will of God withers away. Don't try to satisfy the thirst of your soul by your job, your status, your wealth, girlfriends, whatever status you might think it will satisfy the well, because you'll go back and try to drink from that water and you'll find that that water is bitter. Come and satisfy the longing of your soul by putting your faith in the Good Shepherd. Put your faith in Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wander. If you need more proof, especially those, as if you're a follower of Jesus, you're already his sheep. You cannot be cast aside. If you're listening today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you've never put your faith in the Lord, and you're what we would call a lost sheep. You're wandering. Look up Luke 15. Read those three parables on your own time. You'll see the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. All three of those are parables about things that are lost. That is the heart of God. God, Jesus cares for all sheep, but he particularly has a place in his heart, deeping and longing for the lost sheep. It says, I love the one in the lost coin at the end. It says that the heavens, that the host of heaven, the angels of heaven, rejoice and celebrate over the returning of one repenting over the 99 righteous. If that's you today that's lost, that's a lost sheep, would you come and return and come to the King Jesus? Lay your life down, hear the truth of Jesus, and decide to follow him. And no longer be a lost wandering sheep, but rather be a follower of God. Be a sheep who responds to the good shepherd. And that is my ultimate prayer for you.
Great, great lesson. Would you like to close us out in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Holy Father God, I am grateful that you died for me, that you stepped in the way of wolves that were attacking me that I can't do on my own. And God, you did that for all people. I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to hear your words and respond to it. And God, I'm thankful that you are the gate of which we can come through, and know that we have a joy that can only be found in Jesus, that we can go in and out of pasture without worry and fear because we know the shepherd is with us, that you satisfy our deepest needs, that we will not starve as the good shepherd because you provide for us. And God, you protect us from false teachers. That God, we would filter all things that we see and read, and before we decide to line up behind, that we can actually see truth in your word rather than seeking out truth for man. And God, I am thankful most of all that you are a shepherd who willingly laid down his life for his sheep, because you realize that we cannot do this on our own. Father, I pray for those that may be hearing this, that may not know you as Lord, that God, that they would see and hear and understand how you are the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34, that you were the promised one. You were the one shepherd that God promised to put over his flock, and that we could put our faith and trust in you for forgiveness of our sin and be spared the wrath of God and have eternal life in heaven with you. And that doesn't come by anybody else, by no other name under heaven, but Jesus Christ alone. That we do not have to be perfect in this life. We don't have to follow the broken, man-made laws of religion and broken, hollow rituals that the religious leaders were trying to teach in the day. But rather, all we have to do is recognize we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And all we have to do is recognize our sins, believe with all of our heart that Jesus truly is the Son of God, one and only Son of God, who died for us and rose from the grave. And your word clearly states that if we confess with our mouth as Jesus the Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Lord, I pray for somebody today who may be hearing that, that God today, that they would need and surrender their life to the Lord and become a follower of God. They would become a sheep who follows the good shepherd. So Lord, we pray for that. We pray for any struggling Christians that may just need to be reminded of the hope and the joy that we have in the resurrection of our living King. So God, we glorify you in all things. We pray and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, I gave you a little teaser about Jace going to the Holy Lands, but we'll let you come back in here another time and talk about that.
Sure.
Or sometime when you're going to have the floor at First Baptist Church, yeah, Cheyenne, Oklahoma, we can let people know ahead of time, yeah, maybe. I hope you get to tell us about that sometime.
Sometime soon. It'll be a Sunday evening.
Sunday evening, okay. Jace is our youth pastor at Cheyenne First Baptist Church. And my goodness, what a impact you've had on our youth there. Since I've been going to that church for the last, I don't know, 45 years or something like that, a long time. We've had youth pastors at different times throughout that time, and many of them have been good, and you have been one of the best. So we appreciate
you. I appreciate that.
Well, you've really blessed us. You've been listening to the Hour of Power. This has been a great hour. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Jace, have a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back.
Working at home?
I am working.
Or working?
Working, working, working.
At work?
You have done great things.
It feels so unbelievably good to get so much work done.
Music with a message. The House of Praise.
I wasn't prepared for this kind of storm, and now I have questions and fears that I've never had before. Now I have a choice to face this myself, or look for the story of grace and redemption you wanna tell. In this moment I will say, I am not wasting a single day. I won't let these chances all slip away.
Help keep your mind on our one true hope.
Jesus Christ.
Music with a message. The House of Praise.
When I was young, you called my name. I tried to run, but still you came. And you stepped into the dark, 'cause that's just the kind of God you are. When heaven seems beyond my reach, you still see eternity in me. You're turning ashes into art, 'cause that's just the kind of God you are. It's in the empty tomb, it's on the rugged cross, your death defying love. You'll never quit on me, you'll always hold my heart, 'cause that's the kind of God you are. You gave me freedom from my sin, you told me I could start again,
your thoughts.